Thank you. Like, it's got a stuck piece of candy on top of it. That is grody. Good Lord. All right. That brings my test smile. I'll read off the screen. It's okay. It's fine. Don't quit. We talked about that. Don't quit. We've been doing Hebrews, and we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Mom, appreciate this verse, and so will you primetimers, because this verse is one that I understand y'all recently talked about. Go, Brandon. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. We have people that have gone before us that walked this journey. They walked this life. They endured persecution. They endured hardships. They endured pain. And guess what? They made it. They crossed the finish line and they made it. People have done this long before we were born to walk this spiritual journey with God. And they believed in God, they served God, and they trusted God. And they believed in their reward, just like Paul said in the very last book that he wrote in 2 Timothy, as he was in a prison cell, Paul was still penning out the word of God that we read today for our lives. And one thing Paul wrote while he was in prison, he said that, I've ran the race, I've finished my course, my departure is at hand, and they're laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not just for me, but for all of those who love his appearing. As Paul was writing that letter, he is still serving God. He's one of these witnesses we're talking about, that though he's being in prison, he wasn't in prison for something he did wrong. He wasn't in prison for murdering someone, raping someone, robbing a bank, stealing a camel, you know, hijacking a goat. He wasn't in prison for none of those things. He was in prison for serving God. He was put in prison for spreading Christianity. And we're seeing that today very much. I read an article out of a magazine called Decision by the Billy Graham Association. And I can't even pronounce the country. Don't remember what it is. Don't ask me. But it's real, and it's a real story. But there's a country, and I never heard of it before, that there are people by the hundreds in this country getting arrested and put in prison until they denounce their faith in Christ. That is happening in 2019 here in this world. Here Paul is getting arrested because he is spreading Jesus to everybody and they don't like it. But yet while he's in prison, now think about this. We don't get that job promotion. My God must not hear my prayer. Boo-hoo. Our car breaks down. Oh, God, ain't in my life. My car broke down. Man, here's a guy who had been beaten more than once, who had been ran out of town on a railroad, who had been stoned almost to death with rocks, who nobody liked hardly. He wasn't very popular among his peers. And now he's been thrown in prison, and he's got an execution date waiting on him. He's going to be, as you old Westerns say, he's going to be hanged by the neck till dead. And he's sitting there, and if anybody had a reason to bellyache, it surely was Paul, wasn't it? But he was still addressing us and still spreading the word of God and reminding all of us. Paul was saying, hey, this isn't it. Just because I'm going to die in the morning doesn't mean this is it, and it doesn't mean that God failed. God has a crown waiting on me, and the sooner I leave this prison cell, the sooner I stand in the sun. Hallelujah. And Paul knew that. He's a witness. He was there. We know who the witnesses are. All the people we read about in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Samson, David, Job, Peter, Paul, John. I mean, all these people we read about who walk this earth. And the reason the author is writing this is to encourage us. Hey, they've been there and they've done that, and you can too. Be encouraged. This is a real deal. They saw terrible, horrible times, but their faith never departed. And they stood on the foundation of God through high and through low, through thick and through thin, and through victory and through defeat. They stood their ground. So be encouraged. It's kind of like when you know someone's going through something bad, right? You know, doc tells you, oh man, this happened. And you're kind of like, okay, well, I ain't the only one. I'll be praying for you, but I'm glad I ain't alone. We all kind of feel that way. That's why they have that saying, misery loves company, because we do. Misery loves company. We want somebody else to be miserable, because if they're miserable, I'm not so weird. And maybe God isn't against me, because if good old Roger back there, who we know loves God, who's a good, humble, faithful, wonderful, wonderful man of God, if he's going through storms, then God must not be mad at me or punishing me, because I know Roger's a lot better than me, and he's going through stuff. We like support in whatever place we're in, whether it's victory or whether it's defeat. You ever watch a ball game when a team wins? Of course, they're all jumping, celebrating, dogpiling. Everybody's laughing, rejoicing. Some are crying, but it's tears of joy. Everybody is celebrating. But when the losing team's in the locker room, guess what? They're together too. And they're crying, and they're mourning, and they're grieving, and they're together in that moment too, supporting each other through their grief. We need support, and the Bible gives us people that have been there. It says, seeing that we are compassed with all these witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us. In other words, you know what? Don't let anything get in the way of your race. Don't let anything get in the way of you going forward where God wants you to go. There's always going to be stumbling blocks. There's always going to be landmines. There's always going to be traps set for you by the devil. But keep going forward, and don't let those traps, don't let those enemies that come against you, don't let those things stop you from running the race. You keep moving forward. You keep looking ahead. You keep marching one step at a time. Pastor, I ain't got a step to step into. Then take a half a step. Take a quarter. Just stand up. Do something to where you are in a position that you're going forward and not backwards. So many things come into our lives to derail us and distract us from walking in the covenant promises God has for us. Things like condemnation, which is the fancy word for guilt, right? Guilt. Man, I'm so guilty. All I see is the stuff that I've done. All I see is the sin that I've done. All I see in the mirror is the rotten piece of crap that I am. That's what the devil paints us to look at. I'm just being real up in here. I mean, that's how we feel sometimes. And then we have fear that attacks us. And the devil puts that fear carrot. Always makes us afraid of what ifs. The what ifs of life that usually never happen. The fear of, am I good enough? I can answer that question. No, you're not. But Jesus is and always will be. And your salvation's in him. So then you're good enough because of his grace, not because of what you do. And the devil puts these things in front of us to try to stop us. Well, I've been going to church, Pastor. I've been giving my offerings. I joined the teach the children, or I volunteered to help at a church. And ever since then, it's just got worse. So I'm just going to stop doing all that. That's the answer. I mean, really? Think about how that sounds out loud. That's the answer. Does marriage get tough sometimes? I mean, Debbie, does marriage get tough sometimes? See, Doc heard that. Yes, marriage gets tough. But you don't walk away every time you have an argument. If you walked away every time you had an argument or a disagreement or just didn't feel like being married, you'd never be together. Ever. That's just life. When you have kids and they give you a hard time, do you take them back to Kmart and get a refund? You can't now. They're closed down. You're stuck with them. That's true. That is true. Walmart will take anything back. If they're not paying attention, you may get money back for your kids. Just don't let them see. Just say, I got this thing here and it don't work right. Okay. Anyway, you got a kid. That's yours. You don't just get rid of it because it's not doing exactly what you want. In life, life is hard, but God is always good. And I trust that. And these witnesses trust that. Man, a prison cell was not going to stop Paul from preaching the word. John the Baptist was beheaded, his head cut off, just for preaching Christianity, for preaching Christ the Savior. Peter was crucified just for preaching and teaching that Jesus is the Son of God. We see all these people that were martyred for their faith, that were tormented and tortured. And we have this great cloud of witnesses. And you know what they're doing? Abraham saying, come on, you can do this. Keep going. Moses, yes, God that parted the Red Sea will part your Red Sea. David saying, hey, the giant that stands in front of you, I had a giant one day. And guess what? God showed up
And that giant fell, and so will your giant. Keep on going, ladies and gentlemen. Keep on going forward. And look to me at what God brought me through, because it's the real deal. And if God did it for me, he'll do it for you, because there is no respect of persons for God. None. And that's the good. This is good preaching, y'all. Y'all too quiet tonight. This is Sunday morning preaching. Come on. That's good. You sponge it in and write it in. We have this support group through, well, I've got one in my office, through the Bible, through the Word of God. We've got this great support group that tells us, yes, keep on going forward. What if Noah had to let the sin of doubt interfere with his race when God told him to build that ark and save your family because I'm going to flood the earth? And he let doubt, you know, I don't see no rain, I ain't never heard, that can't happen, and all that, you know, I'll start it, but then nothing's happening, and year after year goes by, nothing happens, year after year after year after year, nothing's happening. But Noah kept following the path God put in front of him. Noah kept on the course and the race, because you know who God called to build the ark? One man, Noah, that's it. He didn't call nobody else, he called Noah to build the ark. You know who called to slay the giant? One man, David, nobody else, David. Is who God called and used to stand in front of Goliath that he might be slain. Who did God use in the lion's den to show forth the greatest of God? Daniel. One man. One man. What difference can we make? A lot of difference if we stay on the course God's put us on. A lot of difference. Man, you make more impact than you realize when you let God use your life. However that is. Lay aside every weight which so easily besets us. Go to the next verse. And let us run with patience. There's that word we don't like, right? Patience. And y'all know what I'm talking about. In my children's generation, the millennial generation especially, if a video is more than about 3 minutes and 10 seconds, they will not watch the whole video. I told you of the day maybe Ashley was going to school, she has a playlist of songs. Some good songs, songs I like, actually. And she had a playlist, and she would play part of it and then skip the next one. And that would get into the song about one verse, skip the next one. Look, back in my day, back in Danny's day, you were stuck listening to the whole song because you had a cassette tape. And you had to, like, it had, I mean, unless you want to keep rewinding, fast forward, rewind it fast while you're driving, you had to just listen to it till it got all the way through. There wasn't another computerized thing. You just hit it on the dime and stop it. She wouldn't listen to the whole song all the way through. I'm like, I want to hear the whole song. Right when it got good and I'm jamming the steering wheel, she flips it. What are you doing? No attention, no patience. And patience is something we all struggle with. If you're here tonight, you say, oh, Pastor, I've got patience. There's something that'll make your patience go, I promise. There's a button. It may not be over waiting in the restaurant line. It may not be, you know, waiting in the grocery store line. It may not be me preaching 10 minutes past on Sunday morning. But there's something that will trigger you to where you lose it. Because all of us have something we don't have patience for, whatever that is. And the author here tells us, as we run this race, run it with patience. In other words, don't give up every time it don't go right. Don't stop every time something goes wrong. Just keep running. Man, just keep running. You're going to clear that hurdle. You're going to pass that thing that's trying to stop you, but you've got to keep running to get there. You've got to keep going forward. And spiritually, we have people that are just wanting to give up on God or church because their life's not right. Man, God didn't give up on you. God, when he died 2,000 years ago, he paid one price, one time, for the redemption of humanity. And he's not going to take that back because you have to act like a fool. He still loves you through it. But yet, we're the ones that want to walk away from God because he's not hearing our prayer. He's not meeting my needs. He's not meeting your needs. None of you here tonight, I can say this. This is the prophetic part in me. None of you in here tonight are in prison. You know how I know that? Because you're here. None of you tonight are laid up in a mercy room fighting for your life. Not tonight. All of you that are here tonight came, all of you, came in a vehicle. And all of you, as far as I know, unless y'all really have a big secret, have a home to go back to when you leave here. And in that home, all of you, hopefully, have air conditioning, and you have heat in the winter. And you have some food in the house, and you got a bed to lay down in, and you've got lights to turn on, and you got gas in your car, hopefully, to get you back home. And all of you are going to walk out of here on your own two legs. Some a little slower. Some of y'all's legs ain't that hot. But the point is, y'all got legs. Lieutenant Dan, you got legs. Y'all got legs to walk out on. And all of you have eyes. None of y'all can all see. Maybe not as good as you could, but you can see. And y'all can hear. Doc can't hear as good as he could. Joe maybe can't hear as good as he could, but he can still hear. All of us have all the blessings of God that we forget about. Oh, we're so blessed. We have so much to be thankful for. Walk into a nursing home and go down the hallways and look in those rooms. It is pitiful. They're in bed all day long. Some of them can't move. And they're bound to that life every day of their lives. You are blessed. So God not meeting your needs, I beg to differ. Re-look at that and say, God, are you meeting my needs? Yes, he's meeting your needs. He sure is meeting your needs. Maybe you don't have all the things you prayed for, but maybe God says you don't need those things right now. And maybe those things will come in his time and in his season when it's right for him to bless you with that. But you keep running this race with patience that is set before you. God has set this plan. The plan for my life is different than the plan for Bill's life. Bill's life plan is different than the plan for Shirley's life. Shirley's life is, God's got something different for Melanie than he does Shirley. Each plan is designed by God. He sets those plans before us. Don't try to run another race. Run the one God put before you. Run that race. Because that's the track he's got you on. Stay in that lane and watch what God does with that. Next verse, Brandon. We run this race with patience. And while we're running, we do this next part. We look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that completes our faith. I look to Jesus. He's at the finish line. Cheer me on. Come on, James. You got this. I know life's hard right now. I know that things ain't going good. Just keep on. Keep running to me. Keep serving me. Keep trusting me. Keep loving me. Keep believing in me. Just trust me, James. Keep on coming. Look unto me. I'm your cheerleader. I'm the one motivating you. I'm the one encouraging you. I'm your Savior. I'm the Lamb of God. I'm your great I am. I'm your Redeemer. I'm your God. I'm your everything. I'm your healer, your provider, your protector. I'm everything. I'm your deliverer. I'm everything to you. I'm the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and I'm your King, and I'm your Lord. Come on. You've got this. Man, as we do that, how can we not help but run that race? It's like a child running track when I see their mom or dad running cross country. Ashley ran cross country a couple years, and you know, she'd run by, and we'd always yell her name out. Go, Ashley. Come on, girl, go. Get off the ground. I'm playing. I know I'm playing. I'm just playing, y'all. Go, Ashley, go. The water bottle's almost there. Look, woo, cold H2O. The perfect formula. Come on. It's waiting on you. Aquafina all the way, baby. Come on. When that encourages us when we have somebody motivating us. I used to have a guy I worked out with. I know you're joking, but I did work out back younger days. And I had my friend Sam Morrison. We used to go to the gym a lot, and he had weights at his house. And man, we motivated each other. I get on that bench to do the bench press. We put in the old Rocky tape. It's the eye of the tiger. But we were pumping that, and Sam would go, come on, James. You got 9. Come on. Come on, 10. Push it, push it. He would say that, push it, push it. And I'd push that bar up. Something about that motivation helped me. Man, that's what Jesus does. I've got you. Come on. I've done the work, man. Just walk the path I put before you. I didn't say it's going to always be smooth and always be easy, but I did promise this. I wouldn't leave you, and I wouldn't forsake you. I promised that part. So on the times you don't see it, I'm there. On the times you don't hear me, I'm still there. On the times you can't feel me, I'm still there, because I promised my presence wouldn't leave you. So trust that. Look at the author of our faith, finisher, who for the joy that was set before him, talking about Jesus saw joy ahead of this crucifixion.
He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus looked ahead in time and realized the price of the cross was mere animal crackers compared to the reward of his resurrection. I despise, I'm going through shame, torment, pain. I don't want to do it. It hurts physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. But because of what this is going to produce after, I can do this now. What we are going to see after this world, I can only imagine, right? I can only imagine, Lord, surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? God, what will I do? I just know that the joy that awaits the children of God, as he said in Psalms, he said, precious are the death of his saints in the eyes of the Lord. Precious is the death of his saints. He paid a wonderful, beautiful, powerful price for our lives. The scars on his hands prove how much he loved us. The crown of thorns piercing to his head and bleeding down his body proved the love that he had for us. Whenever this was God in the flesh, hanging on the cross, how could this great king allow this to happen? He didn't have to, but he did because he first loved us. He first loved us. In spite of us, he loved us. Beyond us, he loved us. Beyond our faults, he loved us. So he endured the shame of that cross because he knew what was lying ahead. And you know what he has now? Children. He has children forevermore. All the children that have been redeemed and restored through this sacrifice. That he has broken the veil that separated us from God and torn that down. And no longer does that penalty of death and sin stand in the way of me. He removed that as far as the east is from the west. And now I have eternal salvation, mercy, and grace because of the price that he paid. How beautiful. There's a song on the radio right now. It's a beautiful new song that I love. It's called Thankful for the Scars. I don't know if it's the title of it, but it's called Thankful for the Scars. Thank you for the scars, because without them, I would know your heart. Thankful for the scars. Think about that. God, without those scars, I wouldn't know your heart. And because I know your heart, I know you love me. And you love me first. You love me unconditionally. You love me no strings attached, God. You love me when I'm ugly, when I'm bad. You love me when I'm behaving good. God, you love me. And the way that I live doesn't change the love you have for me. And when we understand that revelation, man, we'll start walking in a place with God we've never been before. Because we'll realize, man, God, you did all the work. You did this for me. So I'm going to run this race. I'm going to keep moving forward until I cross the finish line, which for all of us as Christians is when this spirit leaves this flesh. Whether it's on this side or whether the Lord returns and changes us while we're here, each child of God, there is no separation from them from their Father. How beautiful is that death has no power over the Christian? Heard a preacher today say that he read an article where an author wrote that God never sees his children really die. And he said, what I mean by that is God only sees his children come home. Kind of a pretty way of putting that, isn't it? God sees his children not as dying, but as coming home. Just like the prodigal son, but more deeper than that, more spiritual. We were far off from God, weren't we? The Bible says we were all far off. We were not, we weren't even close. We were way off. But the blood brought us back. And we were in that hog pen at one time, and the blood cleaned us up. And when we cross this finish line called life, God does say, welcome home, my child. What a beautiful thing. Next verse, verse 3. For consider him that endures such contradiction, talking about Jesus, of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Once again, remind yourselves of the price Jesus paid. None of us are being persecuted here unto death, unto what Christ did. So let your mind not be weary. Keep your mind strong. Don't let it faint away because of things that come against you. That is exactly what the devil wants you to do. I promise you this. I know I say this all the time, church, but believe me, I'm the pastor. I'm telling the truth. I hear it all the time. I have folks that be out for a while. You know, I call them. I follow up. Hey, I just miss you. Where you been? Well, I've been going through some things. When things get straightened out, I come back to church. I literally want to. If there was an emoji for that moment, it would be this. The mouth just dropped. What? You're going through something, so when you get stuff straightened out, you'll come back to church. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. It's when you go through something, just give up on your faith. Give up on the people of God. Man, we're a family, and we need each other. And what I started telling folks now, I say, look, they need you too in the church body. Because there may be somebody, and Melanie said this for years, it's really a great thing she says. I mean, it's really a revelation. She said it to me before. So, you know, there's people, you know, that we're always looking at, well, where are you being? I miss you, miss you, miss you. Well, there's people that need you here. That, you know what, maybe by you not being here, it's affecting their lives. Because you've got a purpose to be here. And there's somebody that needs your strength, that needs your hug, that needs your love. What if Joe Brown wasn't here on Sundays anymore? What an impact that would be. Right? Where's Joe Brown? Well, he used to come here. Well, he'd been here in 2 years, brother. He's gone home. He went to Ohio? No, home. He went home to the Lord. And you missed out on all that time. Oh, you should have been here when he was here to get what you need. We help each other. And their Bible verse says iron sharpens iron, right? Iron sharpens iron. We need each other. So don't ever, when things get hard, quit the race of saying, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, when I get straightened out and I get better. Man, think about this. When you're sick and really sick and in pain, do you call the doctor? I'm really going through something. When I get better, I'll come see you. Same concept. You ever call your mechanic? Man, my transmission, man, it just went out. When I get it fixed, I'll come drop it off to you. Okay, don't you need me to fix it now? Yeah. Don't you need me to kind of heal your body now? Yeah. When it comes to God, man, we need God when we're broken. That's when we need him the very most. God, I bring my brokenness before you. I need to be fixed and restored. I'm not going to run away from you. God, I'm going to run to you. I know where my source comes from. I know where my help comes from. I know that you are what I need in every moment of my life. Why do we run away from help whenever God is there with open arms saying, man, oh, just come to me. Think about, remember the old Mr. T show, A-Team? Old Mr. T, I pity the fool. That's what he used to always say. I pity the fool. Wonder if God's like, man, I pity the fool. I mean, here they are, they need me, and they're over there. What are they doing? Hello, I'm God. I kind of got what you need. Just trust me with it. Everything getting a quick fix. You know what a race indicates? A race indicates endurance and time. Most time. And our race, he's talking about, is the race of life. This race doesn't last 7 days. It doesn't last 3 years. It doesn't this race is all of our lives. From the time we're born, the time God calls us, we're in a race. So we stay in the race where God has us through every season and trust God and never quit and never give up. Just a couple more verses. We'll get you out of here. This is in 1 Corinthians, which is spelled right as you notice. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. And this last part is what I really want to focus on. You know, what he's saying is that everybody runs, but only one receives a prize. Well, luckily for God's people, we all receive a prize. But this next part is what I want to concentrate on. So run that you may obtain. Keep running. How can you obtain anything? How can you get anything if you stop? You've got to keep running to get to where the prize is at. A great example, I've used before, if I had three $100 bills laying up here, and I said the first one that gets up here, you know, say you all were back on the back row so it was even, you know, they wouldn't count y'all up front. You're all back on the back row. The first three to get up here get the $100 bills. Hopefully all of you, maybe $100 don't mean nothing to you. Let's make it $1,000, okay? $1,000 up here. Three $1,000 bills. And the first three that get up here get the $1,000 bills. I bet old Doc's legs
when all of a sudden the Holy Ghost hit them things, and he'd be walking like he's running, he's 30 years old again. Something would get a hold of him, or at least he would try. And here's the trick. Say Doc gets up, but Danny's ahead of him, and Thomas is ahead of him, and Debbie's ahead of him. Well, Debbie will share it. Dee's ahead of you. I know. That's what I was getting to. Doc, there are three, and Doc falls. Don't just stay there and look. Oh, well, get back up, because you know what? Dee may fall. Debbie may have a heart attack and fall over. You don't know. You got to keep running until you get to the finish line. Don't stop. And that's not going to happen in Jesus' name. I'll use that as an example. This, you run the race until the end. You don't fall short of it. You keep going because you don't know what's going to happen till you get to the finish line. So we run that we may obtain. If I want peace, I've got to stay on the race God put me. I want to obtain joy, I've got to stay where God's got me. I need healing, I've got to stay where God's got me. But Pastor, I've been on this path, blah, blah, blah. Stay on another, it doesn't matter. Stay on the path. Our time and God's time are two different times. So I trust God. He knows the season that we're in and the season we need to be in. So I'm trusting that. Run that you may obtain. One more verse here in Philippians 3:13-14. Here's Paul saying, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Paul is saying, you know what? I'm not saying I know a lot, but this one thing I know. I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and I'm going to reach forth to those things which are before. Man, we all want to change yesterday, don't we? I think all of us would want to change yesterday. I would. If I could go back in a time machine, you know, like Tim and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, if I go back in a time machine, I would change a lot of things. I wouldn't change maybe big parts of my life, but I would definitely change decisions I made. I would change how I did certain things. I would go back, but I can't go back. And we spend a lot of useless time thinking about going back. And we can't fix anything behind us. But we can change a lot of things by the way we move forward. Yesterday is gone, the old song says. Yesterday is gone. Today I'm in need. That ain't the one I was going to think about. Yes. Well, that's not a good song. That sounds pretty depressing. Anyway, the point I'm making is yesterday is gone. So you can't change yesterday, but you can change the moment you're in, and you can change the next day. And Paul was saying, you know what? I'm not going to let either victories or defeats behind me be my focus. Because sometimes we look at good things behind us. Like, how many of us say, you know what? I know most of us do this, especially the older you get. I know the baby boomers in here. You dwell on the years of yesterday, the America of yesterday, black and white movies, 57 Chevys, 25-cent hamburgers, tent revivals. I get all that. We reflect on what used to be. But even doing that, reflecting on things that were good in your life, can keep you from walking in what God has for you now. Because God's still moving today. And God's still good today. And you're exactly in the time you're supposed to be in. You're not an accident. You're not a blip on the radar. You didn't shoot from Mars the wrong time. The stork didn't drop you off at the wrong place. You are where you're supposed to be exactly. So I'm going to celebrate the moment I'm in. Yes, I can look at yesterday and great times, great memories, great victories. But that's not all your victories. You still got victories yet to come. You still got great days yet to come. Man, the sun's still going to rise again in your life. And if you're always looking at the sun set instead of the sun rise, you're missing out on what God has for you. The sun ain't set on you yet. You still breathing. Until you're down at Nicholson, there's hope for you. There is hope for your life. So keep running the race that you may obtain. And look at those things which are ahead, not behind. Last verse, 14. I press toward the mark. I'm going to intentionally focus myself on the mark that's ahead for me. And that mark is, for all of us, it should be as Christians, I'm going to serve you, God, no matter what. That's my mark. Whatever my life is, God, I'm serving you. Whatever happens wrong in my life, that's the mark. I'm serving you. My eyes are on you, and I'm going to keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. You've called me, God, for a journey. You've called me for a purpose. You've called me for a plan. And that's what I trust. Right, Ashley? That's what I trust. Is I am going to press toward the mark and not lose focus. There's too many distractions, even in the church sometimes. There's too many distractions from people hearing what they need to hear, seeing what they need to see. We need to be very sensitive and attentive to what God wants to do in our lives. And the only way we can do that is keep our eyes on Him. Don't let the things around you. You know, our video games have taught us that through the years. Video games are filled with challenges to where you're on a game and you've got to avoid this and avoid that. You've got to get through this. You've got to jump this. You've got to run over this. You've got to eat that. You've got to whatever it is. And you've got all the stuff in the video game. You're trying to avoid all the stuff from taking you out. And you're locked in. Let's get locked in like that. I'm not letting nothing around me take me off the course God's putting me on. It's not always been good, and it won't always be good. But I know God is faithful, and I trust that. Whatever season that is, don't you quit. Don't you give up. You keep moving forward. And that's why you have a pastor. I want to tell you this. I know I get on some of y'all's nerves, probably. I get it. Y'all probably hate the text generation because you got a pastor, you know this, that will text you if you are out very long or you know, whatever. And I do this because I realize how the enemy is and I realize the distraction of the world. And you've got a pastor that loves you enough, even if it makes you mad, to reach out and say, hey, are you okay? Missing you. Where you been? And notice not one time in all the years I pastor have I ever said, I want you back because you have money. The offering has been a little light lately. I've been missing you, brother. There's preachers that do that kind of stuff. I'm reaching out because I realize you need support in your life to keep, hey, you got this. You can do this. Come on. Don't let the devil pull you out. Don't let him get you, you know, don't let him, you know, I mean, so many times that's the first thing I want to do is pull out. I texted someone last week 3 or 4 times. But I felt led to. And I was like, look, don't quit. Don't give up. This is the devil in your life fighting you. And I even put in the text, you're not getting rid of me that easy with that response. Mm-mm. Because, and there are people I let go. Reluctantly, I do let go. Melly, you know, she knows how I am. And there's people that I have to let go. I get that. But I'm not letting go until God tells me to let go. When he tells me to let go, I will. Okay. Let go. But not before. I will be there and I will help fight. And I will help the best of my ability keep you grounded on truth and hearing the word of God. Nothing like the word of God. That's what changes you. Don't quit. Don't give up. All right. Everybody good? Marjorie, glad to have you and your family back in town. It's like you've been gone for 6 months. But glad you're back safe. And she went to Florida for about a week and well, I guess a week and a full week. But just here comes Charles walking in. Bless his heart. He's an hour off. Must be on Central Time. I don't know. Thank you, D. No. Hey, tell him we're taking up offering. That's weird. I want poor Charles. He didn't give up. That's right. He got here by George. Yes, Shirley. Is she not? Come up here and stand for her, Shirley. We'll have you stand for her. Is he coming in? Indeed. You are not on the get more people in the church visitation team. We want to pray for Kayla. This is, of course, Shirley's daughter who, it's okay to tell them what she had. It was called what? Viral meningitis. It's not the bacterial kind, which is a good thing, but it is viral meningitis, and she's been having some issues. So
Let's pray that God will touch her. Father, Shirley stands for her daughter, Kayla. We know the healer is, and we pray for healing power to touch Kayla's life. And this meningitis will be gone, and she will be made whole and restored. All pain in her head, all pain in her body, whatever is going on will be gone, and she will be completely healed by your stripes. We pray this and we believe this. For Kayla, God, we speak forth your word to go to where she is at and restore and heal in Jesus' name. Amen.